Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So, we are 3 years, and 3 years is a big deal because for 3 years, we have outlasted other things that didn't make it 3 years. And 3 years is like a big number, especially when it comes to planning a church. But here's several things that I spent about 4 seconds thinking on of what we've outlasted for 3 years. First one is this: fidget spinners. We're bigger than fidget spinners. Think about it. Why are you clapping for that? You're like, yeah, I hate those things. But like, if you think about it, when they first came out, like every parent needed to have one to make their kids happy. And it was like a back order. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, they're just all outside on the ground, right? So we made it there. You guys remember Segways? There's Segways, we made it longer than Segways. Is it up there? All right, like, look how happy said no one ever on those things, right? So we made it from that. We also made it longer than the Google Glass. Do you guys remember these? Right, Google Glasses. And I remember when they first came out, I'm like, this is going to change everything. And then they were gone. And it was like, we hate this idea of technology. So, and then we also made it past Nita Davis, her mustache fad as well, right? So, yeah, we made that. That was short-lived. But 3 years, when it comes to church planning, is a very significant date. Because they say if you can't sustain growth, you can't even keep your doors open within 3 years, then you're just going to probably just decline and then like peter out. And so like as long as the doors are open next week, technically we made it, right? So and I'm feeling pretty good about it. But how do you define what is successful in a church, in a spiritual community? Because it's not like we're selling widgets, right? Well, we sold this many widgets. Not like we're trying to move some sort of product. So how do you like even say like, well, it's because I think this community is very, very successful. Is it because we have X amount of people that come on a weekend? Is it because we have this many baptisms or this many people that come into new life with the divine? Or is it how like we have a budget like this and we take in and we save? Like all those things are important. And we actually count all of it. We count a lot of things. But like just because you have X amount of people in seats doesn't really mean that you're successful. Those are like byproducts of being successful. Does that make sense? It's not like the goal is to get as many people in one room at one time. Because really, it's not that hard to gather people. Like, we can rally around things that are really insignificant. We do it all the time. Hate groups aren't known for what they love, right? Hence the name hate groups. They can get a lot of people. I think it's even easier to rally around what you hate more it is than to engage people with what you love. Because when you hear like of something you hate, like maybe a sports team, like maybe, I don't know, the Packers, all right? We can instantly just rally around. They're like, yeah, green and gold, all right? Not that important, but we can like share the hate we share for that. Or maybe it's a coach, or maybe it's the school board member, right? You can just say the name. What about school board Bob Bag of Donuts, all right? And you're like, yeah, Bob Bag of Donuts, no one likes him. Maybe it's a hate group like the neo-Nazis. They don't get together and say, wow, we just really love white people. They are just so great. This is just wonderful. I think they might be known a little bit more for the people who aren't like them, right? And we had the Jewish synagogue, the shooting. We had the mail bomber, the other mail bomber. We have these things that happen at 1,000 Oaks of people who want to bring harm to others. But that's never who we are. And actually, it's sad. There's a lot of spiritual communities that sometimes are defined by who they exclude, right? Like one question I get all the time is, well, can I come? I'm like, well, I think the doors are still open. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can still come. And people have these ideas of what church might be or who God is. And they're like, well, no, I don't fit. And I'm like, well, yeah, if they let me in the doors, I'm pretty sure they're going to let you as well, all right? You might make it in. Like, being successful, then, in a community, to me, is something good and beautiful. Imagine that, right? We've been saying this for well over 3 years, that we worship a good and beautiful God who wants nothing but good and beautiful things for us. And I would say we're successful because of this. not because we say it. It's not just a cute little slogan. It is happening in your homes. It's happening at schools. It's happening out on the football field. It's happening in the break rooms, having life-giving conversations at a table all throughout Carleton County, all throughout St. Louis County. See, our vision has always been, we started with this, John 10:10. John 10:10, Jesus is walking around in some killer sandals and a really hip little tunic thing, and he says, "I've come to bring life and life to the full." And that's where we get good and beautiful, that Jesus came to bring life, like a good and beautiful, a flourishing life. And when you do that, everything changes. When you lean in, because a good and beautiful life isn't something you just arrive on. It's not like you just like, you're like, "Oh, I am now full of life. I am now flourishing right now. I have reached the peak of the good and beautiful, and now I can just coast." See, good and beautiful is not the absence of pain. A good and beautiful life, a flourishing life, is not just smiles all the time. A flourishing life doesn't mean that we have no grief in our life. A good and beautiful life is something that we're always leaning into. It's something we're always receiving. It's something that we're always stumbling upon. It's something that we're engaging. It's something that we're including people in on. And we let that be our focus. If I'm always going to be moving towards this kingdom of God, I'm going to always be moving towards a flourishing life, like, then to me, that's like, would be successful. In a little bit, I'm going to share some stories from the past year that I've seen through the eyes of your pastor, of watching this play out. And this is nothing new. Like, Paul talks about this all the time. Paul wrote a bunch of New Testament in his letters to other communities he started, and he talks about this. He talks about, there's all these things that churches can do. There's all these things that these spiritual communities can do, and he's like, "We're happy for you, but we're going to make it really about one thing." And I'm going to read it to you. It's in Romans chapter 13, and it's interesting because he does lay out, especially in Romans 1 and 2, he lays out all these things that really make it difficult, make it hard to experience the kingdom of God. Like, he's setting himself up for everything else. He's saying, "Hey, these things might be a danger," or might be, the word he uses, like, could be sin. But then he goes, like, "Well, you want to do these things and avoid these things." And then 13, where he's beginning to wrap up his whole argument, this is what he says. "When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along." The law code. You might want to write these ones down, right? "Don't sleep with another person's spouse." Write that one down. "Don't take someone's life." I mean, don't kill them. Good one. "Don't take what isn't yours," especially in the fridge at work, right? "Don't always be wanting what you don't have." And any other "don't" that you can think of finally adds up to this. So just to pause, he's saying there's all these commandments. There's things that Jesus told us to do, things he told us not to do. Paul's, like, all what they learned in their sacred scriptures lay out all these things, Leviticus and all this. He's saying there's tons of commandments, but he says, "But I can wrap it up for you in one easy way. Love other people as well as you do yourself." You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add up everything in the law code, the sum total is love. And the word that he uses here, this love word, is not just like a little slap on the back, like, "Hey, I love you, bud," right? This love here is this Greek word called agape. And agape is the love that they use the same word for God. "For God so loved the world." It's the same thing. He's saying if you lead with love, when you engage with this kind of love, then you are doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. Now, this doesn't mean that we just say, "I just love. I don't have to worry about not doing things or abstaining from things." That's not the point. It's not just like, "Just, it's all about love, man. Do whatever you want." That's not the point. He's saying, but if you lead with love, this agape love is a different kind of love. It's a love that lets us, like, evolve and grow and mature or transcend. And this kind of love, this selfless, radical, beautiful love, includes other people. It's a totally different kind of love. One thing that when I was a youth pastor, I'd always tell our students is that we want to love differently. We want to love not to get something in return. So often love is this selfish of, like, I will do enough to get what I want or what will meet my needs, what will feed my ego. And this, what Paul says, like what we're going to do is have agape kind of love. "For God so loved the world that he gave." That, like, when we love, we give. We give the best of ourselves, the best of our intellect, the best of our creativity, the best of our finances, the best of our time. Like, that's just what we do. And when you do this, it transforms you. Because like even the things he brought up there, like don't sleep with your buddy's spouse, right? Don't like look up and down at your coworker. Don't steal, don't like covet, don't want or lust after other things. Don't cheat. Those are all really healthy things. But you ever just like, okay, today's the day, I'm just not gonna do it, right? Today I'm gonna like, just try really hard to not do it. How does that usually work for you, right? Well, for me, no, not so well, right? I think that would be the majority. It takes something more than just like really not wanting to do something. That's what Paul's talking about. Because when you lead with this kind of love, when you actually say, all right, God, you have to give me something for my sister because I can't stand her. You have to come and give me something for my boss. You have to come and deposit something supernatural, this love inside of me so I can love the person who's different than me. And when you focus on that and extending that kind of love, then it's not just about trying harder. It's about giving your best. It's about giving even like the divine's best to the people around you. And this leads us, like I said earlier, and you've probably heard me like say this a lot, and it's been intentional, of when we have this agape kind of love, it leads to a flourishing life. It leads to a good and beautiful life. This is how I would say we're successful, because I see this kind of love playing out. And it leads us to transcend and include. And I love saying that word. Like I've heard some other people start using it, because this kind of love always leads us to grow. It always leads us to grow. And when we grow, we include others. And the reason I use this word often is because this is like what I believe what Jesus is inviting us to do, is to grow, to love, and to include instead of exclude. Because when you include, right? When you include, it's really easy to include people who are very much like you, right? Like, it's really easy for me to invite my neighbors who just moved into town who happen to be some of our best friends, right? When it's like, love your neighbor, I'm like, oh, I can do that. Man, my neighbor half a mile away, super easy, right? It's really easy to love people who look like you, talk like you, maybe vote like you, smell like you. Honestly, right? It's true. It's easy when you know how to celebrate. They celebrate the same as you. They talk like you. It is really easy to look around the room and say, who's going to get my best? And naturally, because we have confirmation bias, right? We're going to like want to go for someone else to slap us on the back and say, okay, I'll love you. But what about the person who's different? What the person does smell different than you? What about the person who votes different from you? What about the person who theologically disagrees with some of your things? What about someone who practices something different from you? How do we include? Because I love talking about this, when I talk about this, of like how we love like this, what it actually looks like is not just a high five. It's not just like in your mind saying, I will say polite things to them, right? It literally means to include. And people say, well, what if I disagree with them? Well, great. I think it's good. That's really healthy. What if I don't, do I have to affirm everything in their life? No, because I think even in our own lives, we probably don't affirm everything. I don't affirm everything that I think of, right? Am I the only one? Thank you for laughing. You're like, he's really messed up. It's true, right? I'm a hot mess. But I can't affirm. There's things that I think. There's things that I've done. There's guilt and shame that just haunt me. And it's not like every time that comes up, I'm like, yes, I'm so proud of that thing that I did 2 years ago, right? But you know what's funny? I'm really good at like giving forgiveness to myself. I'm really good at still loving myself in the midst of my guilt and my shame. As I transcend, as I grow, I'm still including myself. We don't have to agree on every single thing. It's actually impossible. But have you ever felt that sometimes when you're around like maybe some spiritual people, when it comes to a spiritual community, sometimes it feels like you have to. We have to all agree on these points. We have to all line up and have the same mantras. We have the same things. And our vision from the very beginning is that we can have a table of difference. A hot mess table of difference. And this, to me, is what I believe God's inviting us into, because it's funny. This agape kind of love that includes, thank God. Because God sets this table. God has set this table. And he has included me from the very beginning. And he's not the one who gets up and walks away from the table. The divine's not like, getting, I'm like, well, here's Chris at it again, right? And he's going to, I can't even watch this anymore, right? I'm the one. I'm the one who looks at God and points the finger in his chest and says, you're a liar. You can't be that good. You abandoned me in this time of life. I'm the one who gets up and slams the door and walks out. And it's funny. It's really funny that I can still come back at any point and God says, dine with me, Chris, because you are included. You are included for not what you do or don't do, what magical prayer you say or you don't, how certain you are about these theological things or how much doubt you have in these, of how you express your anger here, of how you express whatever the things that you're feeling are in you here. God says, you include because I am an agape love kind of God. And there's still the invitation to transform. There's still the invitation to grow and to evolve and to obey, all those same things. But to include means to love. And I've seen this. So this is honestly, this is where I've seen. People say, do you feel like your church is successful? I'd say, yeah, because here's a couple of things that I've seen of how we've been able to transcend and to involve, how we've been able to grow and how we've been able to love this agape, a flourishing, good, and beautiful life. First one is people like Hannah. You don't know Hannah. Hannah's in the back right now, probably sweating that I'm saying her name. Hannah, yep, she's already fanning herself. Hannah is an amazing young woman who is a teenager. And Hannah right now is running the soundboard. And you guys can all turn around and look at her so you know who she is, all right? She's like, Hannah is an amazing young woman. And I first met Hannah at my house when we used to have youth group at our house. And right away, something stood out about Hannah. She has an amazing smile, and she loves so genuinely. And I've seen this teenager meet more people, include other people, love other people, and get more involved to the point now where a teenager gives up their Sunday mornings. She was here at 7:15 to make everything, to make my already exquisite voice sound even better, all right? That's called a backhand compliment to yourself. So. And it's people like Hannah who show up and give their best. Like a teenager, when I was 16, 17, 15, 16, all right, there's no way I was going to get up early on a Sunday morning to go help. But this is people like her who are willing to give their best. Krista Barber. Krista Barber leads our food shuffle. We talk about it a lot, and maybe some people maybe are like, oh, here we go again. We absolutely believe in this. This is not just like a nice little thing to put on a resume. This is who we are. We feed the hungry. Like from the very beginning of Christianity, this is what they're known for. Take care of the orphans, take care of the widows, feed the hungry, and help the sick. This is what we do. Krista Barber's put in some amazing leadership and time and effort to serve hundreds of families in practical ways. We've seen a lot in student ministries. This, like right here, this whole row is people here because one of their buddies, Cade, is going to be getting baptized here in a little bit. And I've watched this ragtag group of students. I'm sorry, but it's true, all right? This is very true, from 6th grade through 12th grade. If you go up right now and look at, well, I don't know if they're up there, but at a point, they're up there, and they're sitting in a circle, like awkward 6th and 7th, 8th graders. Like, they're just it is. It's just how it works, right? It's by, that's some evolution. That's how it works. You have to get it out in those time periods. And they're playing this game called Scooty Booty, right? And it's just a game where you just move your booty, scoot it around over and over again, right? It's fun to say. And those kids are experiencing heaven through Scooty Booty. They are. Kaylee might not be up there like having her Bible and like, all right, this is what the Lord says. But through Scooty Booty, there's awkward junior hires who someone knows their name, who's giving a positive touch, who's creating a fun environment saying, this is where you belong. Because when I was in junior high, I had no idea where I belonged until I went to this youth group and someone knew my name. I'm like, this is where I belong. They went on a mission trip, brought dozens of different students from different backgrounds, and they all got included. And there was drama. Imagine that, a mission trip full of high schoolers, and there was drama. And I watched them through, which felt like Kaylee and I were talking about, like, this feels like a threat. I'm like, this is healthy. This is good. This is what we want. We want our high schoolers to deal with drama in a safe, beautiful place. Because even in their drama, even though like, they're wrong, I'm right, guess what? You are still included. I've experienced this. You guys have included and loved me. 6 months ago, I got up here and was giving a message about the Bible. And I was talking about the Bible is written by marginalized brown people. It's still true. Like, it was written, especially the Old Testament, it was all people who were oppressed at some point. And I talked about, we get to see how they viewed the divine, how they viewed spirituality, how they viewed science. It gives us a picture of who they are. And in my notes, it said, the inspired word of God. And I just glossed right over it. And I'm like, and it's this, and it's this, and just skipped the inspired part. And I got a lot of emails. I got a lot of comments. I had a lot of people asking me, like, so you don't believe the Bible is inspired by God? And I'm like, you talking to me? And I made a mistake by not mentioning it. And I'm glad that there was an uproar, but I'm glad that people were concerned. And it took me a while to regain some of their trust of saying, no, I absolutely believe in the inspired, infallible word of God. It never fails. And you guys still gave me grace and love, and you still included me at the table. What a beautiful thing. I was at my highlight of this past year. Might sound really odd to you, but it really was. I was at a 101 class. We do this like every 3 or 4 months. And I was right from the very beginning telling the story about the vineyard. Started in California. Shared our story. And it's just two couples. The two couples did not know each other, but I knew both. Not super well, but I knew their stories. I knew kind of some things they were thinking and struggling through. And as soon as I get done, the person goes, that's great. I really like the story. What is your stance on, and asks a very loaded question that's very personal. Super personal. And especially in spiritual communities, this issue, this question can divide people actually very easily. And where we say, no, I'm right and I'm right. And if I'm right, you're wrong. And if I'm right and you're wrong, that means I'm good and you're bad. I've seen it happen all the time in friendships and communities and churches, sadly. And so they asked it, and I knew where they were. And the other couple, I knew kind of maybe where they'd line up on this issue. And I'm like, they said, well, what does the vineyard have to say about that? And I talked about it. And they said, well, what do you and Nikki believe about that? And we talked about it. And they shared more about their experience and how they were hurt based on this issue. And the whole time, I know what this other couple is probably thinking. And I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes. And I love what do you call that? Tension, right? What do you call it? Conflict. I love conflict, all right? I really do. I like it when I'm like, oh, I'm kind of like feeling a little weird right now, right? I love being in that spot because anytime there's tension, anytime there's conflict, the opportunity for growth is right in front of you. The opportunity to learn is right there. Rarely do I learn when I'm like, I already know everything. I'm like, well, like a teenager, right? I already know everything. I'm perfect, right? So in that moment, I looked and I said, well, friends, what are you thinking? What are you feeling about everything we talked about? And he looked at me and he looked at the other couple and he says, I'm so thankful that I could be at a community where I actually like think differently than you, but we can still be at the same table and learn. And like I stopped, I'm like, I've used that word before. Because you know your vision is getting out there, and we've been saying this for 3 years, that vision's getting out there when other people begin to repeat it. You know that it's getting out there when other people say it. And that, I'm like, that's it. That was our dream before we planted a church. This is what we want. We want to have people who can believe and think and question different things and still say, but I have still something to learn. And we can sit under the banner of Jesus is Lord. And we can say, this is what we're after, a good and beautiful God. And what that looks like and how it plays out can be expressed many different ways, but we're still at the table. Why? Because of this kind of love. Love never fails. I love that. So my friends, we are successful because of the hallway conversations. We are successful because when we grieve, we show up. I'd say that we are successful because when I've seen the stories I've heard from our small groups talking about whiteness 101 and white fragility and privilege, right? Words that don't feel good. They're talking about it. We have a group that Sarah's leading. It's all about prayer. We have a group that goes out into the community just to serve and scrub toilets and do whatever they can. We have groups that get together and talk, what does a good and beautiful God look like? There's people on couches being vulnerable. There's friendships that are being formed. I see it. And I've never been prouder to be your pastor. I deeply love this community. I love that we can be vulnerable. I love that we can be ourselves. I love that we don't have to show up and pretend we have to play some game. But in the midst of that, it's hard. In the midst of it, it's messy. Yeah, and I would say I wouldn't want it any other way. Because when we engage in real life with the divine, then the idea of something good and beautiful, then the idea of flourishing, then the idea of like we're gonna grow and include is not just some great idea that someday someone should do, when you begin to do that, it's messy. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate. Even better than sheet cake from Super One, right? Because that's up there in northern Minnesota, all right? Sheet cake, big fans, all right? We should make t-shirts that say better than sheet cake, right? Is to baptize some of our friends today. And here's why. The people who are up coming up on stage, and if you're getting baptized, start sweating now. Get the nervous, like, I'm going to have to go up there. Yes, you will, all right? The reason that they're coming up here isn't just because, oh, churches should baptize people and we should meet some kind of quota. That's not why we're doing it. They're not coming up here because they want to get into water in front of all strangers and friends and family. The reason they're up here is because they're saying, I am different. I am marked by scandalous love. I'm up here because I'm identifying with the death and the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm up here going under the water and coming out and saying, who I am is loved. Wherever I go in this life is loved. A scandalous, life-giving love. And we get to do it with them. We get to celebrate. The reason we do it together is so that we can hoot and holler. So when they come out of that water, I'm asking, maybe you're not like a true northern Minnesotan where you're not going to be like, yeah, woo, take your shirt off and throw it around. Well, actually, don't do that, right? Maybe your idea of like hoot and hollering is just to go like, right? If that's where you need to start, go there. If it's like, whoo, yeah, right? Then I move the line a little bit further and further. So if I could have my friends who are getting baptized, if you wouldn't mind making your way up, and you come right up on stage, that'd be great. We have 5 friends getting baptized this morning. Is Nita in the house? Nita, do we have the stuff for spontaneous baptisms? So if you're here, and we talk about this often, and you want to get, yeah, and we're going to have some of our friends from Vineyard Kids and 678, they're going to be coming and sitting anywhere they want. What am I talking about? Spontaneous baptisms. If you're here and you want to get baptized and you're an adult, we ask that spontaneous baptisms are for people 18 and older, because kids who are younger, we want them to have a conversation with their family and want to make sure that their family and friends can be a part of it. You guys doing okay? You can come closer. I don't smell that bad. All right, keep on. Keep coming. So if you're here and you would like to get baptized, and you're like, this is something I've always wanted to do, and you're nervous, but you'd like to get baptized, you can come up, and Nita is right over there. You can go over and talk to her, and we, as a gift to you for getting baptized, and like we ask that, you know, you have a relationship with Jesus, with the divine, and this is how you want to express it. For coming up and doing it, you get a free pair of sweatpants and sweatshirt from Walmart. You're welcome. Right. Hey, Mike, can you come up here and move this for me while I'm talking? Would you mind just throwing it over there? Because you are clearly the strongest person here. So, all right. Are you clapping for Mike? Yeah, why not? All right, how are you guys doing? All right, I need you, oh, I love this one. I need you all to look at me, all right? You are incredibly precious. You're incredibly beautiful. And you are deeply loved. And the decision that you're making today is a reflection of all those things. You're going to hop in that tub. It's warm. Don't worry. Okay? Yeah, it's warm, right? And it's clean, and it's mostly sterile. And in there, you're going to feel all kinds of feelings. You're going to feel excited. You're going to feel nervous. You're going to feel maybe self-conscious, like I'm in water. Mm-hmm, it's true. But in the midst of all of that, what I want you to experience is that there's a God who deeply loves you. And I want you to remember this day. Because there's going to be times where you're going to be angry. As you get older, there's going to be times where you doubt and you question. There's going to be days where you're super certain, days you're not so certain. There's going to be days where you are deeply hurt. And for me, I still remember my baptism day. I go back because I need to remember, who am I? Who am I? I am deeply loved. And I am marked by that love. And I identify with the life and the death, the resurrection of Jesus. In the same way with my wedding ring, right? I go back and I think about, during my wedding, I cried the whole time. Like just an hour of just crying, right? But it's a good reminder for me when I hit a hard spot in my marriage to look down and remember, who am I? This is your opportunity, right? I want you to remember this day. Thank you for the way that you have loved God. Thank you for the way that you have confessed your life to him. Thank you for loving the people around you so well. And it is my honor, it is our honor to be in this sacred space together. Now, I'm going to ask you some really hard questions. And if you get it wrong, then you have to get off the stage. So, oh, it's over here. I have a couple of these questions. And when, just a technical note, when someone that you love is here and you're a friend or family, you are welcome to come up on the stage when they are getting in the tub. Sometimes we have everyone just wants to come on the stage and just like hang out and like dance, right? We can do that after. And then when they're done, you can hug a wet person, you can hug them, all right? And then just make your way, right? Okay, you got it? All right, you ready? Okay, first question is this. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord and King, and in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life and grace? If so, say, yep. Yeah, thank you. Do you renounce evil and all the way that evil plays in all the life of this world? If so, say yes. Do you confess your need for forgiveness of sins with a humble heart and put your hope in God's mercy and your whole trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, say yes. Can you say a little bit louder?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big one. There we go. You guys are like, yes, maybe. And with his help, do you seek to follow him, becoming more like him until you see him face to face? If so, say yes. All right, friends, are you ready? Okay, before we baptize, I'm going to pray for you. So I'm going to encourage you to close your eyes. And I'm gonna come and put my hand on your shoulder, okay? So don't be freaked out, or be freaked out, but I'm just praying for you, okay? So please join me as we pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I thank you for these girls. I thank you for these young men. And I thank you for this woman. And we set them apart for your kingdom. And we say yes and amen over their lives. I pray you would give them big dreams, Father. I pray that their mind would be blown open to all the beautiful opportunities there in front of them. And that when evil is present, when evil pushes back, we say no. They say, I am marked by love. Who I am is loved. And I can engage in love. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come. And as they go under the water, whatever they're hanging on to, guilt, like I mentioned, or guilt, shame, fear, especially fear. I pray, God, that would stay in the water. And when they come out, they'd say, I am brand new because I am loved by a good God. So we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate with you, God, and with each other. In your loving name, amen. All right, so how it's going to work is Nikki is going to be playing some music. We're going to have everyone, we stand? Yes, it's like I've never done this before. Yeah, we're going to have you stand. We're going to have you stand. And again, I want to hear the hoot and holler when they come out of the water, and it's going to be a grand old time. Hey, let's give it up one more time for the people that got baptized. That's awesome. Is that it? Are we done? Is that it? Okay. So, friends, this is what I'm talking about. This right here, what you experienced and what you saw and hopefully what you felt, that's what a healthy community looks like. If we had to use success, which I don't like the word, if we had to use success, I'd say it's this. It's family, it's friends with strangers getting together and say, you're included, you are loved, and you are beautiful. So I'm going to pray, and please join me as we pray. So God, I pray that we can leave this place and thank you for the 3 years of being able to celebrate and grow and encourage and challenge and evolve with one another. And I pray that for the next 30 years, we can continue to invest in this community, invest in one another, and we'll always continue to transcend and include. We love you so much. I pray for all my friends who got baptized here today. They'd go and do great things. We love you. Amen. So we have our ministry team. They're going to come up here, and we take time to pray for one another all the time. And if there's anything in your life you'd like a friend to stand with you and pray, we'd love nothing more than to stand with you and pray for you. We're going to worship, right, Nikki? We're going to worship for a little bit longer. Feel free to stay as long as you want. Thank you, friends, for being a part of the Cloquet Vineyard.